Okay, we are in Shaar Gimel, and what we did so far is we talked a lot.
realize the world doesn't exist.
Yeah, and basically my hakdama was that there's basically three shitas in far as Yiddishkeit goes. Maybe many more once you creep into Avodah Zarah and philosophy. But as far as Yiddishkeit goes, there's three legitimate shitas. The question is, how do you understand existence? If the world, did Hashem create the world? Everybody agrees, right? Hashem created the world. Otherwise, you need to take a different course. we're coming in with the Hanocha that Hashem created the world. So how did that work? Did he create the world and created a world like I create a book, and now the book is independent of me? The book can be read by whoever wants to get it. The book can be copied. The book can be destroyed. Which, agav, has a lot of halachic hashlachot, because, you know, people say, Reb David, you'll not appreciate this. That let's say somebody makes a CD or a music tape, and I buy it. So it's mine. if I want to throw it away, I can throw it away. I want to listen to it 1,000 times, I can listen to it 1,000 times. And probably if I want to sell it, I can sell it. I bought it. I bought a chayfis. I bought a niggin, whatever it is that I bought. So you need a real, in terms of mekach mimkar, there might be a different issue of hasagas reyehu. How can I take away parnasa from somebody else? Different issue. But bailus is my bailus. I bought it. It's mine. I can do whatever I want. I can buy a table in the store. I can chop it up into little pieces. Nobody can stop me. Once you sell something, you've given up this chus to it. Now, if you say, and I say it as a mashal, as the nimshal would be, once Hashem created the world, He created the world. Here's the world. So once He created a world, do whatever the heck you want with the world. Schwer to say, but He gave us maybe a Torah, an instruction manual. But the world, Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, Ba'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, it's a separate entity. And that is one shita, but it's almost an impossible shita, if you will. I just have to, 1 second, shut off the... It's almost an impossible shita, because then what you're saying is that there's no hashkacha pratis. Hashem's not involved with the world every second, unlike the music tape, right? You're also saying that the pasuk of malei kol ha'aretz kivoydai, and the lashon of Chazal of leis hasar panui minei, what does all that mean? So obviously Hashem didn't do the Aristotelian thing of just creating the world to walk it away, like I would from my table and my chair. Like, if I'm creating something beautiful, I'm creating a beautiful piece of art, I'm hoping that somebody's not going to come with a magic marker and try to make it better. Okay, but I don't have any bailus on it, even if my name is Rembrandt. I don't have bailus on it once you sold it, once it's out of my hands. So so that's not philosophically or Jewishly tenable to say that Hashem just gave the world. So what then? He created something, it's His, and it's separate of Him. Well, if it's separate of Him, so that means that there's something separate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einoid Milvadoi. Comes the Baal HaTanya, and he says that, what does it mean? It means that Hashem took Himself, and He was Mitzamsev, using the Lashon of the Arizal, He was Mitzamsev Himself into the Bria. This is the Bria. Comes the Vilna Gaon, and he says, don't know. It's a little bit Spinoza. Say Hashem was Mitzamsev Himself into the Bria, that means that this is Hashem, this is Hashem, this is Hashem, this is Hashem. And I pointed out that it's popular to think such. We like thinking that. In other words, it's a very romantic and spiritual thought to think that God is everywhere, God is within us. Everybody has a piece of God in their neshama. The neshama is a piece of God within us. It would be good if it wouldn't be a chash, you know, kfira. But the guy didn't like it, so he says, it can't be that Hashem is in Gashmius things, as the Balatanya said. And he thought that was a very dangerous thing to say, even if he didn't mean Mamash Spinoza. So comes the Vilnagon, and he says, no, Hashem withdrew himself from the world. Simtsum is faker, not simtsum kipshutai, but simtsum sheino kipshutai means that, on the contrary, Hashem withdrew himself from the world. Withdrew himself from the world, so that there's a world, there's a problem with the Gra, is that either you have too much God or too little God. Like, how does it work? Comes the Nefesh HaChayim, and he says, I'll tell you how this works. He argues with Rabbi Hagra, and he argues with Balatanya, and he says that there's no Hashem exists. He created the world, but the world doesn't really exist. In Bavela, there's no kasha. It sounds so strange to us, right? What do we do? What drug are we doing that we're saying the world doesn't really exist? The answer is, well, you just have to be able to define reality correctly and existence correctly, an existential question. But to him, it's like, as the mashal I keep on giving, it's virtual reality. It's like a movie. You know, you could be in a movie theater and you could be so consumed. You could even be sitting in an airplane, you know, so consumed with what you're watching and what you're hearing on your headphones that you could laugh, you could cry, you could feel pain, you could have nightmares. It could be a good, a wonderful, terrible experience. It could be. What are you not experiencing? Anything? We'll get a picture. So, but Seif Kol Seif, if there's turbulence, the guy shuts off the movie. What happened to that whole reality? The answer is that there is no reality. I want to say two things. First of all, you know, I strive to take things, just my personal avoidance, I strive to take things that are very esoteric and make them very real for us. Many places skip Shaar Gimel because it's too esoteric and it's not real. I'm trying to think, okay, this is a big philosophical question, like Matthew says, quantum physics, you know, it's a... But I was thinking about it, you know, this is more real than anything else that we've ever learned. It's completely real, because this is talking about what's real. I mean, there's nothing more lemaisa than the question as to whether we exist or not, or how real the world is. Just a simple example of this. I mean, not just words I'm saying, but just consider for a moment, and I just want to learn with you the gruff insight, but just consider for a moment, you know, death. Death is real, right? Death, taxes, those are two real things, right? So death is a real thing, or maybe not. You know, maybe it's only real because we think life is real. And therefore, leaving life is a big chorban. You know, and it's a big makom for. But let's say that leaving life is like walking out of the movie theater or waking up from a dream. So now, like once you see it in that perspective, so not only does the fear of death or the horror of death leave us, it's just like get me out of this movie. Just get me out of this movie. But life itself becomes a completely different reality or non-reality. Yes, you with me on this? It's a whole different story. So, you know, all of the things that we're all conditioned with since we're a child, it's natural to be afraid of death. But it's all because we believe there's so much reality to life. It's also natural to be afraid of losing money. But it's all, yeah. I mean, in this dream, in order for not to, we don't want to have nightmares. So, in order for our life not to be a nightmare, gotta have money, gotta have health. But it's understanding what's real and what's not real is the. And I want to learn with you the ground side is really like the atzmius of life itself. It's more real than tefillah. It's more. We explained that the nefesh haChayim works in three madrigas, right? Shaar Aleph is understanding Adam. Shaar Bey is understanding Tefillah, or the connection of Adam to Elohim, and Shaar Gimel is understanding Elikus. Those are the three levels of Shaar Dalet is Torah, which is Lamala Minkulam. But understanding Elikus and understanding reality and how he's mitzvah is very, very real. That's the I just want to put that out there. It's life and death mamish. Pikuach nefesh, mamish. Like, how could it be that one should be, you know, moiser nefesh, not to be oivid avodah zarah? You know, we're talking about life. We're talking about life. And the answer is, what's life? I mean, you know, so yes, Hashem gave us life, and He's here, and He created a certain perception of reality for us, so don't walk out of it. This is an exercise we need to do. Don't just step out of it. So ma'abed atzmo l'das is the wrong thing to do. But to get so excited about it that I'm going to go worship avodah zarah in this metzias, that's not acceptable.
I think Rav Kook is the same as Nefesh HaChayim.
So I bet you Rav Kook so was asked, like, how do you hold? Do you hold like Nefesh HaChayim? You know, it was interesting. He was a Voloshiner, and he had a kesher with Rabbi Nachman, like Nachman's teachings, and he had a kesher with Balatani's wife was a Chabadnik, I think. He had a kesher in all these things. So his famous statement was that there's no question in my mind, he said, that Hashem exists. My question is only if the world exists.
So it's the same as
Nefesh HaChayim. Well, he was questioning whether the Nefesh HaChayim was right. My question is whether the world exists. But yeah.
So. How come this issue only surfaces an important issue after the Arizal?
After the Shabsai Tzvi. After Shabsai Tzvi. Because Shabsai Tzvi, and by the way, so it's not the first time that it appeared. It appeared the Rambam and the Ravid in the Indian of Hakshama, because there was the Kasa Makshimim. And you see, the time of the Rambam was basically fighting 12th century, and the Crusades, and Christianity was making a big PR move, a violent PR move, to take over the world, something like the Islam is doing now. And it was a very, very big challenge. It was a life or death challenge for many people. And the Rambam had to explain that it's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be makshim himself into something physical in this world. Yeah, you can't have a God walking around this world as a human being. And everything that it says in the Torah about the Yad Hashem and the Pnei Hashem and it's all mushal. Basically, what is he saying? He's saying that Hashem is not in this world as a physical thing. So that came up. This that the Shabsai Tzvi came along as a new Christianity. It was a new type of Christianity. I was reading a couple of weeks ago that people came to, we need to know this, people came to Shabsai Tzvi with, asked him for brachos or for skulos or kameyas, and they worked. They worked. That was the whole thing. They worked. People came to him like a big rebbe, and it worked. And then he converted to Islam. So, you know, so imagine, like, the Gadol Hador, the Baal Moifis Hador, riding around on a magic carpet, and it was all fraud. But it wasn't fraud, the pshat, he was faking, and he made pretend it worked when it didn't work. It was all Koyuchas Hatuma. So, and part of his whole Abulafian Kabbalah, he was a huge Talmud Chacham, a huge Megubal, but part of the whole thing was this Indian of Hakshama, that Hashem, that Mashiach, he said, Mashiach, is the pshat of the Gilui Elokus Mamish Ba'olam, and therefore the whole Hashkafa had to be eradicated. So it came up in the time of the Rambam, and it came up again after the time of Shabsai Tzvi, which was the time of the Frankistim. It was the time of the Frankists, or the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and historians even say, and I don't know how wrong it is, that historians are sorry, but I'm just saying I don't know how wrong it is that it was a direct hit, meaning the Baal Shem Tov was actually taking what became the standard word of Shabsai Tzvi. It was so crept into Judaism, this idea of Hakshama, that Hashem is in everything, and Mashiach is a God's manifestation, and the God in this world, and people can be God. It's so crept in that the Baal Shem Tov, and then the Baal HaTanya after him, the Mezrit Shemagid, and the Baal HaTanya after him, like, went with this Mahalach and pulled us out of it to a more reasonable way philosophically. But the whole Hasidim was to save the world that was destroyed. from the, that was a whole Baal Shem Tov to save the world that was destroyed by this Shabsai Tzvi thing. So, the Hasidim tell the story of the Shabsai Tzvi came to the Baal Shem Tov in a Chaloim, and he said, "Save me from Gehenna." And the Baal Shem Tov said, "Save me from Gehenna." And the Baal Shem Tov says, "I can only try. I can only try." And Basof, he said, "I can't save you from Gehenna." But it was like a thing in the world of the Baal Shem Tov, because the people that he was reaching out to, which was most of Judaism, you know, most of Jewish people, you know, the whole Ukraine and peasants, they would travel around. They were from Yidden, but they had this hashkafa in them, and so that was the Baal Shem Tov, the Gra. Completely different Mahalach, trying to eradicate the, you know, with coming from a maybe a more litvashur, intellectual, intelligentsia world, trying to eradicate the hashkafa. Don't try to work with it. It's really interesting, though. I mean, they tried it. Let's the whole thing is sheker. So comes the, but I just want to tell you a big story, and then I'll start. A little story, but years ago, I brought this. Chaim reminded me of this. Years ago, I gave a course in Australia. Basically, it was a course on Tzimtzum, but it was called Milestones in Jewish Philosophy. Milestones in Jewish Philosophy. So, of course, the course came with CDs, which was what was popular at the time, and the idea was that you give the CDs to a teacher and the teacher can teach it to people, and that was the concept. And it was funded, and I think 3,000 people purchased this program, Milestones in Jewish Philosophy. Something interesting, my kavana was to speak about, to give a course on and use the leaders of the generation. Understanding Tzimtzum, and this is Chaim, this part of reminding me of Tzimtzum. He wrote, she did a Rambam, she did a Baal Tanya, she did a Vilna Gaon, she did a Random House Encyclopedia. That was the meaning what pantheism could be. But this is what I did. But talked about the Rambam, and talked about the Gra, and talked about the Ramak, and I talked about the Baal Tanya. I gave the course, and the best shiur in the course was the shiur in the Baal Tanya. It just explained, I thought, very well, and brought different parts of Likutei Torah and Tanya and explained. And it was like I put my energy into this. So all the tapes at that time came out, and the one of the Baal Tanya, like the tape recorder, didn't work. So when I moved to Muncie, I gave the course again. And I said, this time I'll get it right, because we wanted to, and I did it correctly. And all the tapes came out except for the one about the Baal Tanya. It was a crazy thing. It got lost. Something happened. It got lost. And I hate recording onto a tape. I mean, maybe from giving a shear is one thing, but, you know, sitting at a... And I went to a studio. We decided to do the whole thing in a studio because I had funding. So I went to a studio, and I gave a shear about the Rambam, and I gave a shear about the Gra. I gave a share about Ramosha Cardavaro, and then the studio closed down. So I said, "Okay, that's true. Three strikes, you're out. I'm not gonna do this." So, you know, like, so anyway, so I do have the sheets of the Baal Tanya here, but the fact of the matter is, like, it's not so posh. You know, I mean, Hashem runs the world, but
what is this, you mind aspiring to Kabbalah as well?
So, you know, it's like who?
I don't know, the contemporaries of the Baal Tanya and the Rishon. I don't know the schools of Sephardim.
You know, it's all about how to. It's all about how to define the Arizal. And you know, the it's interesting, the Shabbos Tzvi started the Sephardi world and then caught on to the Ashkenazi world. It seems to me, from the Ben Ish Chai, that it's a dover, I'm just, as one Mekubal, he takes on as a dover posha, like the Nefesh HaChaim. It seems to me. Okay, so that being all that, with all that introduction, in Perek Aleph, the discussion here is where the Nefesh HaChaim is using the word makom. We say many times makom, that a person should be mechaven es liboy la makom before tefillah. Hashem is called makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called makom. We say on Shabbos, Hamakim Yirachim Aleim, not on Shabbos, but when we're davening, Hamakim Yirachim Aleim, Yotziim, Afeilu Loirim, Yeshiva Ravacha, Hamakim. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Baruch Hamakim, Baruch Hu. So Hashem is called Makom. Why is Hashem called Makom? Makom means place. Place requires space. And the Parak Aleph, he says that the Pshat is, and I'll just read this one paragraph, Ulufi Pshutai, towards the end of Parak Aleph, Ulufi Pshutai, Ratzel Leimar, Kimai Shaha Makom, Husayvul, Machzik, Ezadavar, Vachefetz, Hamunach Alav. Chazal say that the world, Hu makoymai shalaylam. So here's the table. Here's the sefer. So the sefer's. It's not that Hashem is in this world. Ain ha'olam makoymai. But hu makoymai shalaylam. The world is in Hashem. So Hashem is the makoym of the world. And I think one of the last things I said on Thursday was that, like, let's listen to the Chazal before we weigh in on this. Ve'ein ha'olam mekoymai. Ein ha'olam mekoymai. It's a very non-pantheistic Chazal. Ein ha'olam mekoymai. Where is Hashem? Don't know, but ein ha'olam mekoymai. The world is not his place. So it seems from Chazal like a very, very clear thing. So he says that in this paragraph, Kach b'dimyon zeh habayra adayin kol yisbarach shmai hu hamakayim ha'amiti. That it's not that Hashem is in this world, hey no elam makaymai, but the world is makaymai. I'm sorry, Hashem is the makaymai shel olam. Hey no elam makaymai. That means to say that hu hamakayim ha'amiti hasayvul makayim ha'olamos v'abriyos kulam. Shim chas v'shalom yisale koichay mehem, af rega achas, efes makom kiyum v'chiyus kol ha'olamos. K'mashakosav ata mechaye eskulam. So the whole world is standing on kivyachol a table called Hashem, which is the makom.
The Rambam says something. Uses the word mamzias in time. It sounds like it's saying the same thing, but the Rambam avoided using the term makom for some reason.
Right, but it's exactly the same thing.
So what was his problem with the term makom? Is it that it conjures up
because
something too physical?
Until the Baal HaTanya brought out this idea.
He's saying two things. He's saying the makom, and he's saying he also infuses everything with a certain energy that...
Two things, very important. Two things, and compute two almost opposite things, because the table gives no chiyus to the book. Unless on some physics level it does, meaning that makom, as he tells us, is a lashon of kiyum. That's the source of the world. Hu mekayem, hu hamakom hamiti asoivul, hu mekayem hoi lamais ve'abriyos kulam. It's as if to say that if something in world, I suggested, has absolutely no makom anywhere in the universe, then it can't exist.
Is there a preference in the Nefesh HaChaim for the word makom that Chazal used instead of the Rambam? Is there some sort of
makom is what Chazal used, and the Rambam is coming up with Metzius. Let's listen to Rambam. Yisoidus v'amuda chachmas. He brings it here. Leida sheyesh sham matzui rishain v'hu mamsi kol nimtza. First of all, he's the original Metzius. Second of all, hu mamsi kol nimtza. Everything that he's created are created from him. V'chol hanimtzayim mishamayim v'aretz u'mashem b'neim loy nimtzu elo me'amitas himtzaoi. And everything that exists only exists because he exists.
And the Ramchal uses matzui also.
V'myala al adas, so here's the possibility. The Rambam says, "Yala al adas shehu einoi matzui, ein davar acher yochel lehimtzois. Nothing could exist. V'myala al adas shein kol animtzoyim milvadei mitzuyim. And let's say you would suggest for a moment that nothing in the world exists. Hu levadu yematzui. He still exists. So the only thing that's real, says the Rambam, is Hashem. something actually exists. Leivat, meaning not actually exists, but nothing can exist without him, and he can exist without anything. But this still leaves room for query, because what the Rambam says is that nothing can exist without him. Very good, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Now that he's here, Hashem is with us, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just wouldn't exist if he doesn't allow it to exist, but he's allowing it to exist. So it still begs the question as to whether things actually exist or not.
The Rambam brings Hashem Elkech Memes.
Hashem Elkechim. Hashem Elkechim Memes.
Elkechim Memes. Yeah.
Hula Vadoi Ho Emes. That's what he says. Hashem Elkechim Memes. Hula Vadoi Emes. Mein Lachar Emes Kamitase.
Means that the other things are not Emes.
Husha Atari Remeris. Ein Oid Milvadoi. Ein Sham Matsui Emes Milvadoi Kamoi. So the other things are not Emes. Right, the Makayim.
It's a Makayim.
That's exactly what he says.
Makom.
No, but Chazal say Makom. But Makom is a Lashon, according to the Nefesh HaChayim, in any case, I don't know if Bialik agrees, but Makom is a Lashon of Makayim. It's Makayim. All I'm saying is it's not 100% Mukach in the Rambam that nothing exists without Hashem, just nothing is MS, whatever. Upinas Yisoid, Amunas Yisrael says Nefesh HaChayim, Kama Shekasav Rambam Breisifer, I just read to you. V'lechein Koyer B'zayir La'ad, L'chol Nishmas. And so we were introducing a new idea. It seems like a new idea. That you have a Neshama, the Neshama. Okay, what does the Neshama do? What does the Neshama do? The Neshama is, like, this is an existential question, right? Is the Neshama powers us? Or the Neshama is us? It's not us. L'chayra, l'chay neshama shenasata bi. To hear him, first I'm a bi, and then you give me a neshama. Neshama shenasata bi. So you gave me a neshama. What is this neshama like? So he's saying that Hashem is the neshama of the world, and he explains. K'moish ha neshama mechaya mechayem es haguf. The goof would not last. It would exist, wouldn't it? You could have a goof without a neshama. No? Dig people up 100 years later. You could have a goof without a neshama, but it can't. K'moish ha-neshama mechaya mechayem es haguf, v'chiyav shir l'chatichas b'asr gimel yam, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that without the neshama we begin to rot. Chenu yisbarach shmei hu levadoi chay olam kulam ki yadu b'mkoyim es rabbis, tikunim v'rayim mehemna, ayin b'pasach aliyo, v'chein rabbi seinu zal, he ends parak aleph by saying, and that's why Chazal say that if you want to understand the relationship of Hashem to this world, so in terms of reality, think about it in terms of the relationship between the neshama and the goof. Ends this parak by saying Zehu Pashtus Inyan. Okay, so that's a positive shot. That's a positive shot. Let's crawl into the deeper pshat. Amnam, Perek Beis, Panimiyos Inyan Mekoymish Halaylam, Uinyan Gadol Ma'ayd. And I'll add that this Perek Aleph leaves more questions than it answers. Because is he the table? Is he the neshama? Is he giving the kochos to it? Mashikinu Yisparach Shmei Mekoymish Halaylam. This that Hashem is called Makom, Mekoymish Halaylam. Ein erech klal inyan makom. I think that's what you're saying, Shmuel. Ein erech klal inyan makom hanoisei kol chevet oyim edolav. Nothing to do with makom. It's nothing to do with makom as in a table. In other words, we think of makom as space, and space is as dimensions. She'atzmus hisavus v'kiyum hakli, because in the case of a book on the table. The book exists. The only thing the table is doing in the case of the book is making the book beyond above the ground. Or if it's a glass thing, it'll break without a table. The goof is there, has a metzius, even without the neshama. So it's not a good muscle. So he's asking the question on himself. Okay, so I lost my neshama, but I'm still here. But when you look at the creations of the world, what are the olamais? Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Hisavus mitziusum kol rega, the very fact that they can exist and continue to exist, we call rega, hurak meito yisparach shmai. Bila yamasalik ritzoni yisparach milahava yisam kol rega hayula ayin ve'efes mamash. So have we advanced here? What we're saying is, don't look at it as Hashem created something and now he's holding it. No, he's powering it. More like let's move from the example makom of a place to the example of generating power into a light. Let's look at it as light.
A movie.
Or a movie, as I keep on saying. So a movie feels very real, but it's not real. So is that MS in the sense of MS? But it is MS that is making me feel a certain way. My pain is true and my simcha is true, but the whole thing's untrue in the sense of reality. So he says, let's take makom not as the place in which this reality sits, but the makom is that which creates the makom in terms of makayim, which is actually causing this to exist.
Comparing it to the goof, I said before, first paragraph,
I
said the goof has
a
metzius of its own. Now
he's saying the olamus. No, he's saying in Perek Aleph, this is exactly what he's saying. In Perek Aleph, according to what we learned in Perek Aleph, the goof could have a metzius of its own. He says, but I'm telling you, the makom means something deeper, and it means that the thing doesn't even have a metzius. He's moving on from that. The pnimius inyan. Rak machmas, and only because, ein b'koyach shum nivra, that no one who's created. There's a gentleman who usually sits in the back, so the last thing he said was, I can't relate to this whole thing, and he hasn't come back. So I
can't.
He doesn't exist. So, nivra, af elyon shebel yoinim lahasing mahusayin. And he's right. There is no creation in this world that can really understand makom in the true sense of the word, existence. How really everything is nothing. Who could understand that? It's not really anything. It's like a movie. Nobody can understand that. So the Chazal used the word makom, but it's not really an accurate and exact mashal.
We can't understand it.
In other words, that's
not the thing. We can't understand it.
Right.
I'm writing about to try and make you understand something that we can't understand.
Right. So maybe the chat is don't understand it wrong. Like we have permission to say don't know, don't understand it. I always tell the story. You know, when I went to take a test to go to Brisk. Rebaral Soloveitchik. So every Shtickel Torah starts with Akasha. So he's going back and forth. It's a good Kasha. So I said, so I was thinking, he said, stop. Yeah, good. Like, you asked a good Kasha, finished. Like, not everything has to. Like, you know, why are you going to, like, the kash, like, it was such a important, like, the kash is MS. So why do you want to now mess it up with something that's not MS? You know? Like, you're thinking, so who cares? But the kash is a kash. Here, kash. Rabbi Nachman's, it was in Torah Samach Tess, I think, his take on the whole subject is, miyadeh. Who knows? And obviously, if we're not able to understand it, we're not chayiv to understand it. But I think, again, I think that the answer to that question is that the Nefesh HaChayim is not trying to help us understand it. He's trying to help us understand what it isn't. And giving a mushal as to what it can be like, and hence my mushal is better than his mushal because he didn't have movies, or at least he didn't go to them.
So yeah. One from physics, apparently light is, it can be either a particle or a wave, right? It's the famous thing. And no one understands like how it would be.
It's both.
And it's impossible to be both. And it's possible to be both. We don't understand how.
Okay.
Even the physical world has this kind of this duality.
Or lack of it. I mean, in other words, you see, remind me what time am I supposed to stop talking here?
45.
I want to do something for 5 minutes. Just want to take a break from this because this is going to be here. I want to show you Reb Dessler. Reb Dessler has a mimer in Chelek Aleph called Havaya Vahasaga. Just think of the title. Existence and how to perceive it. Havaya Vahasaga. And it's 20 pages long. And here, you know the way the Michtam Eliyahu worked, just some idea, is it starts easy and gets harder and harder. So this is the last chapter. But then there's a Chelek Beis, Chelek Gimel. Each one is more advanced. That's the way the book was written.
Chelek is more advanced.
Yeah, yeah, it gets more and more advanced till the end. Till Chelek Hay. That's the way they. That's the way.
This is
Chelek Aleph. So we're in the Malchus Shebechesed. So he says, let me just read you a little bit. Kosev Agra. And Nefesh HaChayim is not going with the sheet of the Gra. It's important to remember. But Kosev Agra. Zeshanu Mavchinim Achsha Vavchonas Geshem. The Gra, we measure things with physical measuring devices. I don't mean rulers and microscopes, but in other words, it feels rough, it feels smooth, it feels hot, it feels cold. Those are physical things, right? That's called Havchanas HaGeshem. Geshem means Gashmius, not rain. Gashmius comes from rain, so it's called Gashmius. But Havchanas HaGeshem means we see things physically. We measure things physically. In fact, seeing is believing. If we can't prove it under a microscope, many people in the world say it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So he says this whole idea of measuring things with physical tools. This did not exist before Adam Arishan did the Chet. No, wow. This whole idea of seeing things in a physical level comes with the Chet. And what we see now as Gashmius, so he explains as follows. I'm not going to explain it because he explains. Hayinyanu, says Rav Dessler. Ki anu mavchinim es hageshem shu murgash b'chushim. We use our senses to measure reality. Correct? Emes? Nikir la'ayin. Seeing, I can see it. Is there a mountain there? Yes, I see it. Efshir l'mashasha, you can touch it, you can feel it. That's reality. Achas ha'nefesh, Navchin Luruchnis Yachad as Kolshi Faisel Gashmius Umidisel Chumrius. Kein Nivchan Ibuchushim. Now it comes to something which is not touch and feel, something like my Nefesh, so we have to have new tools in order to measure it. Now, feelings, that's not Gashmius per se. So you need new tools to be able to see it. Ulam. He says this whole being limited by the physical senses and tools that we have available to us. And even though those tools, by the way, get better and better, right? Today you can see what's going on in the moon clearly. You can see what's going on in front of your nose clearly with a microscope. The tools of Havchana are very, very strong today. But Bechozos, Ulam Koidem Chet Adam Harishin Hayam Mabit Acher L'Cholzeh. Before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, these were not the tools that were used. Hein imira ish malach asher lavash suras adam balguf. So let's say you see a malach, and the malach is dressed like a navi. So he's got a knapsack, and he's got a coat, and he's got a beard, and he's straggly. But he's a malach. K'mar sheheru atzmam ha-malachim la-Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is a malachim, yeah? So a malachim. Af she-bevadai efshir gam le-mashish ha-gufahu. You could have touched those malachim, he says. Avram Avinu could have shaken hands with the malachim, and it could be the malach even had a good grip. Mikol makayim, however, that was a very temporary thing. It wasn't real. If it was only an image, movie. Once the malach finished his shlichus, because the malach has a shlichus, it ceases to exist. It doesn't go away, it ceases to exist. It's not the pshat. That was a ki'ilu. So we have a new word, the Zerudasa. That person who just came and talked to me, he was a ki'ilu. He was a ki'ilu. Kein haya mabit al etzem hageshem, she'ein klum mamish. Listen to what he's saying. He says, when before the chatz of Adam Arishon, when a person saw something, he was seeing a ki'ilu. He understood this is not the real thing. Einoi klum mamish, rak seer. It was just a projection or a picture.
Apparition.
Yeah, ki'ilu, 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 in quotes, ki'ilu. One of the gedolei hadoros said, is Rav Dessler, that the Gemara says, ein sur kelekenim. Ein sur kelekenim, what does it mean? There's no rock like Hashem. And Chazal Darshan said, ein sayar kelekenim. There's no greater painter. Okay, so you look at the sunrise and the sunset. It's beautiful. And ain't just give me a second. Ain't sayar kelekenu. You look at the mountains. You look at the valleys. You look at the ocean. It's beautiful. He says no. One of the gedolim said, ain't sur kelekenu kach pirushay. Sayar. If someone was an artist, uman gadol imitzayar tmuna. In other words, when Rembrandt or Spielberg paint a picture, nirena mirachayk, if you look at it from far away, ki ilu mitziyasu v'loi tmuna. Hard to believe, it's not real. It looks real. A picture, okay, so maybe a human is limited into how much realism he can put into his picture. And with Hollywood, you can do a lot. But you're still limited in terms of making it into reality. Hashem? Ain't sayar kelekenu. He's not limited at all. So the picture could be so real that you can really think it's real. You bang your head on it. It's not just like today we're up to virtual reality. So you go to the mall and somebody's wearing glasses and he's climbing mountains and he's kicking somebody and he's you're lucky he doesn't have a gun. it's such a mind game that it's so real. Is it real? No. Because the 16-year-old was running the machine, click. Here went my whole life. Here my whole reality, my whole climb. I'm going to fall out of a plane now. Like, what happens? The whole reality is not there. So he says that ain't sayar kelekenu, it's a big picture. Exactly the way we're learning it. When you get close to it, you see it's only a picture. Acha kadosh baruch hu, kishumet sayar davar kimetzius. As close as we'll get to Hashem's painting, Yid Malanu Kimetzius Humamish. This is Ruach HaKodesh of a door before the Rav Dessler. It was the pre-war Europe where they didn't have the virtual reality or any type of a thing like that. It was, movies were like, but at the end of the day, Eino Ela Ki'ilu. Wow, it's as if it looks a person almost. As if this table's a table. V'lo yoyser, maha yenifchan oz b'teres geshem, achachumri yeshiv nefesh, shlitas hayetzer, lahav yatayvel, toich nafshe. There was a gashmius that Hashem created in this world, and that gashmius pulled out the Marishan to do the chet. B'china zu haysen ikrais guf, says Rav Dessler, just his last line, umahi misa imkein. So what is death? ultimately we're all going to have to ask ourselves this question. Mahi Misa. Mahi Misa. Gam bazeh. Al pim abotenu, the way we see things. Uistaklus haguf v'chorbonai. Istalkus haguf. Right? The guf is going away. Avul b'mabet shal koidem chet adam arishin. But if you look at it through the eyes of adam arishin koidem achet, ein zu misa klal, she'ein ze ala she'poishet levush meduma, she'eino metzias klal. Death means I'm walking out of the movie theater. And I'm shedding that which is not real, and I'm walking into something which is, yes, real. Because the whole world, I'm leaving the movie. The movie's over. It's done. So, you know, so it's in other words, it's not like there's no chorban here. On the contrary, like tzaddikim are besimcha by their misa because they're walking into reality. And even if they're dying al kiddush Hashem, you know, even if they're being tortured, you don't find too many oyves in the Asar Arugei Malchus, because it's not just a bracha of simcha, there's a recognition at the moment of, you know, we shall live a good long life, but there's a recognition of the fact that I'm taking off this heavy, burdensome coat, and I'm walking. You know, it's interesting that I think tzaddikim know this. This is one of the, and by the way, this doesn't just affect how you die. Of course, this affects how you live. Understanding what the world is, but you know, they. I think the bria. It's only people have this false sense of reality, because I don't know if animals have like a false sense of reality. Am I giving you a headache? I once read in one of my when I was in one of my zoological moods, I once read, I'm just fascinated sometimes by animal psychology, but snakes, an Indian zoologist pointed out that snakes, you know, there's no hospitals for snakes and things like that. But snakes can be perfectly sort of healthy and crawl around and do their snake thing. And then there comes a time that it's time for them to die. Snakes die, they don't live forever. And snakes have particular places in every neighborhood of snakes. They have particular rocks that they crawl under those rocks and they sit there until they die. Igiazman. Like, must speak with this life. Like I'm going on to, like, sort of like intuitive, because they have no brains to mess them up. The reptilian part of them says that this is life, now's death, and they die in dignity, so to speak. But the dignity of it is that the whole thing of Basilis Yesharim and Pirkei Avos and Chazal and Torah and Negra is Olam Hazeh Doima LePrizd, or Olam Haba Doima LeTraklin. So if Adam Arishon would not have done the Chet, so that brought Misa into the world. But it means to say that before that, I don't know if he would have died or he wouldn't have died. I don't know. How do I know? But it was perceived. It's a perceived because
no transition needed.
There's no transition needed. There's no transition needed. That's the gula. That's the gula. That's the tikkun amiti. Yeah, gotcha. I'm sorry.
You're talking about, there seems to be a subtlety that I'm missing. You're talking about the prime cause of Shem. You're talking about the projection, the movie, whatever you want to call it. And there's something called consciousness. How we
perceive
in between. So is that, have you related?
Well, we don't perceive it correctly. That's the point.
The consciousness exists in Metzius. Meaning it seems to be.
Metzius onto itself, yeah.
That's Descartes.
That's how we see it.
That's Descartes.
It.
Yeah, but you see, the you know, we are what we, how does it go? You know, think, therefore I am, yes. Look, you know, your perception, again, you know, like consciousness, what's your consciousness when sitting in a good movie or in virtual reality? What's the consciousness there? The idea is that on a big level, if we would have the eyes, which we don't, by the way, let's get it clear. If we would have the eyes of Adam Arishin Koidim Achet, even Adam Arishin didn't have these eyes once he did the Chet. Or if you would have the eyes of Adam Arishin Koidim Achet, then we could at least, you know, you're saying it's a disclaimer we can't understand, but let's understand what we don't, what we're not understanding. That if we would have the eyes of Adam Arishin Koidim Achet, we would understand, we would, and here's how he fears ice. So we'll look at it more, because it's a beautiful, Mr. Leo. Meaning, I'm looking at you, and what am I seeing? I'm seeing, how big you are, how small you are, how white you are, how dark you are. If I'm looking deeper, I'm like a psychologist. I'm saying, whoa, I can tell that this person was traumatized as a young person, or they're low self-esteem or high self-esteem. I'm looking at it like in a deeper way. If I was looking at it with the eyes of Adam Arishin Koidim Achet, I would just see your neshama. I would just see your neshama. I wouldn't see anything but your neshama, and I would probably see that neshama on a very high level of the world of Bria, and I wouldn't even be machalic between this kind of person and that kind of person, because those are all things that divide us. So I wouldn't be a racist, and I wouldn't be a Balgaivit, I wouldn't be a... I would just see the neshama. So, but we lost those eyes. We lost those eyes, but in the gula, we get back those eyes. So, and we realize that that's the reality, and that's the consciousness, I think, of reality, and now we're in a different reality. Okay, listen, we just touched a few words, but yeah.
When the Kabbalah talk about Olam Sham, and that which can be consciousness?
Yeah, that's what it means. That's what it means.
When they say Adam, or with an Aleph and or with an Ayin, that was the difference.
That was the Chiluk Rameir, yeah.
So that's what's missing in the scientific.